you would take your Bibles and turn to the third chapter of the book of Hebrews, the third chapter of the book of Hebrews, and we'll do the best that we can to survey the third chapter as we talk about the superiority of Christ over Moses. Remember, if you will, in the first two chapters of the book of Hebrews, we learned that Jesus was superior to the angels. In our study this morning, we talked about how that he basically lowered himself under the angels and took upon himself the form of a servant. And of course died for us on the cross of Calvary that we might be his children and that he might be able to call our names in the ecclesia or in the assembly. Now notice, if you will, in verse 1 of chapter 3, as we begin changing the subject matter from angels to Moses, it says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath made honor, hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house. Whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end?" Remember, if you will, we said when we started this study, the purpose of the book of Hebrews was to encourage New Testament Christians who had been in the church for quite some time to keep their eyes focused on the most important thing, and that was the cross of Christ. And the last thing that they needed to do was turn back. Maybe the Jewish brethren who had obeyed the gospel might be questioning, "Well, would it be easier for us? Should we go back under the Jewish law? What about us reverting back to our old Jewish faith?" Well, the Hebrew writer has reminded them, in spite of what you think about the angels, Christ is superior to the angels, in spite of what you think about Moses, and as faithful as Moses was, over his part in building the house, he was only a servant. He was not the builder of that house. Now remember, if we, as we studied this morning, we pointed out in verse 16 of chapter 2 that he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. That made it possible for him to say in verse 1 of chapter 3, "Wherefore, holy brethren," because you see, we are the offspring of Abraham. Because we by faith embrace the New Testament Christianity, and we by faith obeyed the gospel and went down in that watery grave, were born again. We demonstrated the faith of Abraham in our obedience to the gospel, and we are referred to in verse 1 of chapter 1 as holy brethren. Remember, if you will, when we were looking at the book of Philippians, we talked about chapter 2 this morning, how that we ought to have the mind of Christ and understand how that he took the form of a man. But in chapter 3, he refers to us and New Testament Christians, and that we have obeyed or embraced a holy call. Well, what makes this calling so holy is because that the Son of God left heaven and died for us on the cross of Calvary. And notice also, he refers to this heavenly call says, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Now he goes on, and we referred to this a little bit in our devotion on Wednesday night. We kind of compared and contrasted Moses and his work in leading the children out of Israel. And we also contrasted Moses and his building or helping to build the early stages of the Israelite nation as to Christ building his house. Remember, when Jesus went into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, he says, whom do men say that I'm the Son of Man? And of course, they said, well, some say that you're John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said, what about you guys? You've been with me, traveling with me. You have seen my miracles, and you've seen me even raise the dead. Who do you think I am? And of course, Simon Peter made that great confession. He says, you are the Christ. You are the Son of God. And of course, the response was, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that based upon that faith, I will build my church. So when you're talking about us being a part of this holy calling, it's holy in the sense that the Son of God was the builder of this spiritual house. We talked about that spiritual house this morning, how that it really connected back to the statement made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, how that it ran back to David's trust in knowing that after his death, one would come from his loins that would establish a kingdom, an everlasting kingdom. Remember also, if you will, how Moses was sent to Pharaoh to look Pharaoh right straight in the eyes and say, let my people go. Notice also, if you will, that he went on to say, this shall be a token that I have sent thee. In other words, Moses was kind of thinking in himself, he said, now really, can I do this? Have you really chosen the right person? And of course, Moses was instructed and told. He said, this is going to be an example. I'm going to use you, Moses. This is going to be a token that I have sent thee. And of course, when we were studying back in Exodus chapter 20 through 23, we read and studied how that Moses was given the law. And Moses passed the law on to the people. In chapter 24, the children of Israel went into this elaborate celebration after Moses had demonstrated giving them the law. And they went on and talked about, oh, we appreciate this law, and we're your people, and we'll listen to this, and we'll take this to heart, and we'll be obedient to your will. And lo and behold, that very same people got out into the wilderness, and because of their unbelief, they never entered Canaan's fair land. Now Joshua and Caleb got to go in. Joshua and Caleb led the descendants of those people across the Jordan into the land of Canaan. But the very children that God focused on, the very children that Moses led out of bondage, were freed from Pharaoh's grasp because of their unbelief, never saw Canaan's fair land. Well, in this section of Scripture, we're being told and reminded of how superior Christ was to Moses. And the Hebrew writer is saying that Moses was a very faithful servant in the building of his house. But Christ, as a son over his own house, are we. In other words, we are the ecclesia. When you see the word church used in the Bible, it comes from a Greek term that means ecclesia, the called out group. That's the reason when we talked about David's statement back in the Old Testament this morning and how that he remembered what God had done for him and he recanted what he was talking about and he said, I'll cry to my people. I'll speak to my people in the congregation. Well, here we learned this morning that Christ will be with us in the congregation, in the assembly, in the ecclesia, because we are a part of his family. We are this holy calling that he referred to, or this heavenly calling that he referred to in Hebrews 1, and that Paul refers to in Philippians 3 as a heavenly, high, holy calling. And he says we need to hold firm unto thee. Now notice, if you will, we begin in verse 7. And we go from there through verse 19. And it says, wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith, today, if we will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my way. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you. You see what he's doing? He's taking them back. He's reminding them, here's what happened to Moses and his people. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Notice, if you will, back up in verse 10. He says, they do always err. Interesting little word, err. It means to wander, to go astray. So the Hebrew writer is saying, now look, those people wandered. Those people went astray. Those people forgot. They refused to be obedient to my word. And because of that, their carcasses fell and rotted in the wilderness. They never got to see Canaan's fair land. Therefore, brethren, you need to take heed. Here these people are now, 30, 35 years in the Lord's church. They're not as strong as they need to be. We're going to notice over in the 5th chapter, he's going to say, when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have needed someone to teach you again the very first principles of the oracles of God. Isn't that sad? Here's a group of people that had been in the Lord's church a long time. And they needed more instructions. They needed more teachings. But what did they need teachings in? Not the heavy, weightier matters of the law. They needed to go back and be retaught the very first principles of the oracles of God. You know, it's kind of sad. We go back to verse 7 of this. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit said today, if you will hear his voice and harden not your heart. Notice over in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And in verse 41. Talks about a group of Christians. Maybe some of these were in the audience. And look what they were told. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. And sold their possessions, goods, and parted to all men as everyone had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And here we are writing an epistle 35 years later, and the Hebrew writer is saying, you need to take heed, brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief. Over in Acts chapter 16, turn with me if you will there. Acts chapter 16, down about verse 33. If you'll remember, this is where Paul and Silas were in prison. And in verse 25, it talks about at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sung praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened. You drop down to verse 30. And it says, they brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto them the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Notice, if you will, in the 18th chapter, you find Paul in Corinth. And notice, if you will, in verse 8, it has this to say. Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. What is the Hebrew writer saying? If you remember what you heard, if you remember what you embrace, if you remain faithful to that commitment, you need to take heed lest there not be an ounce of evil belief in your heart. You know, we talk about these people and how sad it is that some 30 to 35 years later they needed to hear this message to remain faithful. But we need that same message today. Because it's sad to say, but we look around us in congregation after congregation after congregation, and we see people who are not faithful to the truth. We even see congregations who were once faithful elders, faithful preachers, faithful teachings, drifting away from the Word of God. What did the Hebrew writer tell these people? He said in verse 13, you need to exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Notice what they did back in Acts 2. They continued from house to house. They eat their bread together. They encouraged one another. That's what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 9 when he told the Corinthian brethren. He says, keep the body in subjection. In other words, don't allow the world to creep back into your lives. Remember what he said in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans? He says, you know, I see another law. Warring against the law of my mind. In other words, Paul is saying, now look, we're in the world, and Satan is very capable of trying to seduce us. Satan is very capable of trying to lure us out of our confines of safety. Remember, we talked about that when we were studying the book of James. How sin progresses. How sin can, in the end, destroy and kill us spiritually. That's the reason the Hebrew writer says we need to exhort one another daily, lest we become hardened. Notice he goes on to say, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Look at what the Hebrew writer is saying in chapter 3. Look, this man Jesus is far superior than Moses. Give Moses credit. He did a good thing. He did a good work, but he's just a servant. This man Jesus is the builder of the church. He's the head of the church, the Savior of the body. He's the head of the ecclesia. And you need to be steadfast to the end, to him and his teaching and his word. Look how he starts chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as we as unto him. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. What do you think the Hebrew writer is trying to say? Oh, he's still referring back to those people who, because of unbelief, did not get to see Canaan's fair land. What application is he trying to make? He's trying to make us see that we can't be like that ourselves if we don't fear. And if we don't realize the craftiness of Satan. And he said, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. Why? Because it was not mixed with faith. I wonder sometimes how desperately we need to impress upon our brothers and sisters in Christ how important it is to build their faith, strengthen their faith, grow their faith. Well, how do we do that? Through encouraging them to study, read the Bible, apply the Bible and its precepts to our everyday walks of life. The more we read, the more we study, the more we know. God is revealing to us his mind through the written word of God. Oh, the gospel was preached to us and we embraced it. But if we don't mix the gospel and the teachings of Christ's word with our faith, if it's not mixed together, we'll not grow, we'll not mature. Notice what he says in verse 3 of chapter 4. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Isn't it a blessing to know? know that we have the hope and the promise of being able to enter into that rest, that place of eternal hope, that place where there'll be no weeping, no sorrow, no sickness, no heartache, a place where there'll be no death. Why? Because, as we said this morning, when Christ left heaven, lowered himself lower than the angels and died on the cross and was risen from the dead and ascended, was raised from the dead and ascended back up into the heavens above, he destroyed Satan. He took away his power. Oh, we've got to exercise our faith. And we've got to be obedient to the gospel. But if we may remain firm unto the end, that eternal hope, that eternal foundation, that is going to be our final rest and our final reward, will be ours to grasp. It'll no longer be our hope. It'll be our reality. If you're in the audience this evening, need the prayers of the congregation in any way, why not take the opportunity to do so as Dale leads us in this moment.